generally during my life, I've seen kind of these tragic stories of people turning away from faith. Okay, and this is like something that's not actually supposed to happen. You know, we go to church and we hear that, you know, you believe and then you stay with Christ and you don't turn away from him. But then we see lots of examples of people doing just that. And it's a shock when it happens. And lately, there have been a lot of them, okay? And they've been in the news, you know? Famous such and such guitar player, whatever. They made nice music and they just want to cut up and say, I don't believe any of that anymore. And I've seen this in past ministries where people have made confessions of faith and then later on they're nowhere near God anymore. And I've also seen that there are certain circumstances that contribute to that. And generally two situations contribute to someone kind of falling away, as it were. And those two situations are either success or suffering. Those are the two situations that I think kind of contribute most of the time when you really start to look at what's going on with them. Either it comes down to success or it comes down to suffering. They've suffered or they're too successful to just continue on with God. Either things have gone inexplicably wrong and they have no answers and maybe God doesn't care, or they've gone smashingly right and they don't need God anymore. So as we return to Proverbs, these verses that we see today are a continuation of the theme on what it means to trust in the Lord with all of your hearts. God doesn't say, just trust me a little bit. We never find God saying, just try a little bit and that'll be fine. Just, you know, have a foray into faith and see if that works once a week for an hour or so. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And then today, he's going to talk about these extremes in life that we see. The extreme of success and the extreme of suffering. And he says, give God glory in everything. In the highs and in the lows, and in the success and in the suffering, give God glory. Don't forget, safeguard your walk with the Lord. How? Give God glory in every situation, in the highs and the lows, in the success and in the suffering. So let's consider the first point that we have here before, and that is the example of tithing. It's an example of giving God glory in your success. And so we're picking up in verse 9. This is Proverbs chapter 3, if you've got the blue Bibles that you picked up. It's so good to see a whole room of people, by the way. I love it. And it makes me actually want to preach, because then somebody's actually... I can never tell if someone's online, if they're even there or they're making coffee or something. So this is lovely. Proverbs chapter 3, we're starting in verse 9. And this is what it says. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So God is speaking to the Israelites, and we read the earlier passage about originally the concept of tithing, a concept of tithing. So this is what God said. I'm going to give you some land. And when I give the land, you can plant stuff on it. And when you plant stuff on it, because of the powers that I've already created, the water and the sun and this whole cycle, they're going to sprout. And then you'll have food and you'll also have money. You can probably sell some of that and make a profit and buy other things. It's going to be really great. But before you go ahead and buy your things and enjoy your food, before you do any of that, take the very first little bit of it. Put it in a basket, make the nice first little bit, not the junky little bit, the nice little bit. Take that and go to the temple and give, technically it's going to be a tenth of all of that in a basket, take it to the Lord and give it back. And give it back. And so this is for every veg and every fruit and every protein. Okay, so all that you can consume. It's actually everything that the Israelites are going to produce. Give a little bit of that back. Now, listen, we do not, most of us do have gardens, I suppose. Many of us do have gardens and enjoy doing that, but we rarely take that and then go and sell it anywhere. So does this, you know, is there any application for us? Absolutely. I mean, we um, We may not tithe to give produce, but we actually do work, and then we get rendered a payment from that, yeah? And God says, give a bit of that back. Why? Because it's honorable. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And honor him by giving back a portion of what, actually, we're going to find out what he gave you. So the first thing I want to notice is that this is actually a command. And it says, listen, it'll go well for you, David says. It's a command. Solomon says. It's a command from Solomon. It's a command in the Old Testament. God really does want you to tithe something back. It doesn't say give everything you have. It doesn't say give exorbitant amounts of money. There are some churches where the people seem to be doing really well. They're wearing fancy clothes. Their sneakers are thousands of pounds. I can guarantee these aren't thousands of pounds. All right. They're doing well. And then they pull you into a room and they say, how much are you giving, brother, into the Lord? Why don't you take out a loan, brother? Take out a loan and give it into the hands of the Lord, and he will raise you up. Okay. And then they go into bankruptcy and they get stuck in a cult. Okay. Don't do that. It's not saying that. It's saying, take a portion of what you have, a fraction of it, and in an honorable way, give it back. And I encourage you to do that. Caveat, doesn't have to be the church, this church. It doesn't have to be another church. You get to choose the church you want to give to. Also, you could give to parachurches. You don't have to give it all to the church. You don't have to, you know, I'm not sitting here saying give, give, give. Hey, how deep are your pockets this morning, folks? No, I'm not saying that. This is about honoring the Lord. Okay, so do that. And oh, by the way, we're in a crisis situation now and people are making less money. Should we tithe less? Yes. Okay, please. Be safe with what you have. It's just what the Lord has given you. That step of honor. Yeah. Two words to focus on here. First and all. Honor with the first fruits of all your produce. The first fruits of all your produce. So let's look at that word first. The first means do this ceremonially before you do all the other things you do. So before you buy the cell phone and the nice TV and the new video game system and the nice clothes and get that fancy food from up in the road that you're a little worried is going to give you COVID, before you do any of that, give a bit back to God. Before, yeah, that says, I honor you. Now, during COVID, some of the elderly and some of the those who were have a condition where they could catch the virus and be very dangerous for them, they were told, listen, you come before everybody else in the morning, and it'll be clean and it'll be ready, and just you guys, and then everyone else can come afterwards. And that's a sense of honor, isn't it? And that's what God is asking for here. He was asking for honor. Honor me with the first. And then it says all. And what he means is gross income, not net income. Okay? All means gross income, not net income. It means the whole thing. And so somebody might say, oh, God didn't say give all avocados, and we're making avocados here, so we don't have to tie that one. Yeah. And that's why he says all produce here. It's like everything that you could make. Take that. Every little thing that you grow, take that. And some people, they kind of see giving in this fashion. Here's how it works. So the first thing they do is they take care of whatever has to be taken care of. So I've got a bill, got to pay it. Okay, if I want to stay in the house, so I got to pay that. I got to get the food that I need, and got to do that, yeah. And then they're like, okay, now I also want this, and they go get that, and then I also want the curtains. I really like those curtains. They go get the curtains, and then they go get all these other things. You know, they spend the money, and then they say, all right, now, okay, God, it looks like I got something left here. You can have it. Here's the fiber. Yeah. God wants something a little bit different. That honor that says you're at the front of this situation. Now, notice this is all about blessing us. This is really all about blessing us. It says if you're reluctant to give, I'm just going to tell you, God will burst your wine vats. That's like, bottles of wine. You'll have so many bottles of wine, you won't know what to do with yourself, but don't drink it all at once. That's wrong. Okay. Your storehouses will overflow with grain. It's a picture of abundance. I really don't think we should take this too terribly literally, just so everybody knows here. God isn't saying if you put a fiver in, you're going to get 150 later. Literally. you know, this is a good investment. I'm going to get a lot of money later. Yeah. Or something worth 150 pounds. Yeah. God is not saying that. He's saying, if you honor me this way, I will not fail to double back on you that honor in the form of spiritual growth, in the form of you getting your needs taken care of, in the form of you maturing as a Christian. I will not fail to do something with that. That's what's being said there. But notice lastly on this issue, it's quite important that God really is the giver of all these gifts. It's not that we have earned something and now God is being so demeaning by asking for some of that. Why do you want my hard-earned money, God? What's wrong with you? Well, see, God gave the land, God gave the water, God gave that whole photosynthesis thing that we still don't quite understand scientifically, that magically builds this wonderful thing that we can eat. God created all of the things to sustain us. He has this wonderful system that we keep messing up, right? The environment, it works great on its own. People think of it as a deity. They call it Mother Nature, but it's not. It's just a wonderful thing that God invented. We keep trashing it, but it works great and it brings us food. And yes, we have to harvest it, but if it wasn't there, there'd be nothing to harvest. And so it really is all a gift from Him. And the same applies to you. Yeah, you probably have worked really hard at your business, but you know what? You wouldn't have had much to work with if you had no brain. Who gave you that? And lungs to breathe in the air, and muscles, and amazing ability to write things. You don't know how that happens. It's really a complex system. Nobody knows quite how it works. All a gift from God. And yet we're tempted to say, look at all I've done. Well, you wouldn't have done much if God hadn't given you that. And so God says, just give me a little bit of what actually I've given you back. And a great way to illustrate this is if you have a child and you say, I'm going to give my child an allowance. It's a good idea. Okay. And so you say, stipulations is clean your room. Now, listen, you're not saying that that child has earned the allowance by cleaning their room. You bought the room. It's a gift to the child, but the child should probably keep their room in a way that helps them to thrive and flourish. So, you know, here's a good stipulation. But then if you were to turn to the child and say, listen, a little bit of that I want you to give to the Lord. A little bit of that. And the child looks at you and says, I earned that. I earned that, right? That's what we do. I earned that, God. No, you didn't. It's all a gift. Okay, so that's a specific situation. Honor the Lord with your tithe. Let's now move from that specific to a general principle. Honor the Lord in all success. In all success. So that word honor there is the word glory. Glory. It's also literally in Hebrew, heavy, the word heavy. Okay, so honor the Lord means glorify God. Glorify God. Now that's a good principle. There's a lot about that in the Bible. So here in the church, we don't live for ourselves. We don't live for our glory. That is not what we're to be doing with our lives. If you have great plans of making your name great, I am specifically praying that that wouldn't happen. Because God is the one who's to be glorified. You getting your glory is going to hurt you. I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. We were created to glorify God and what? Enjoy Him forever, right? We do know these words. Yeah, this is our purpose for being. God says, give me the glory. Make me the weightiest in your estimation. Make me the heaviest thing in your estimation. The most important, the most weighty person. I get the glory, not you. Don't live for yourself. Live for God. And so when we usually succeed in life, what happens? It usually goes to our head. Look, people love me. Look, I have respect. Look, I make a lot of money. Aren't I great? See how things are starting to shift away from God and towards yourself? And so God says, before you do that, before you go that direction, make sure you give God the glory. Stop right there. Don't go any further. Give God the glory. And so I really enjoy and I appreciate when a sports player or an actor that, you know, gets the award and they say, I want to thank Jesus Christ. Yeah, you remember that? I want to thank Jesus Christ. You see, and so people balk at that and they say, there, this is no place. This is a secular society. How dare you say that? Just take your award, darn it. You know, take your award. Now, that's exactly the right spot. The exact spot where you would tend to say, now it's glory me time. They say, glory Jesus time. That's what they were made for. Now, listen. Who wrote these words? Well, it's likely Solomon. And this is really ironic here. It's really odd. Solomon penned these words, and you know what? He started his life out glorifying God. This material that we see in front of us is probably earlier on in his life. You know, halfway through, he builds a temple to the Lord, but at the same time, he's also building his own house, and they call his house the Forest of Lebanon, because he's gone and had this wonderful wood that we would like for all of our antique items. He's gone and had that wood brought to his house and built it, and it is glorious, so glorious that people say it's like a forest of wood. And it just goes worse and worse. He starts to say, look how wise I am. Look how smart I am. He builds this throne that is kind of elevated, and on the throne, that the armrest has these lions, you know, with their fangs looking down at people. He sits on it, looks down at people, and it says, look at how glorious I am. And it becomes the Solomon show. And so he doesn't live up to his own calling to honor the Lord in success. Now that's really weird, because at one point he was just like this sniffly little kid, and God appeared to him and he said, I'll give you whatever you'd like. What would you like, Solomon? And he says, I'm an idiot. I need wisdom. And God says, granted. So why is he there? He's there because God gave him a gift. And yet as time goes on, the glory shifts from him, from God to himself. And that's a temptation for us. It's a temptation for Christians. It's a temptation for everyone. It's the temptation of life to let ourselves get over God and to get onto something more important, namely me. And what a travesty it is. So that's the first idea. Give God the glory in your high moments, in your success. Now let's think about giving God the glory in our suffering and in our pain. And we see this in verse 11. My son, don't despise the Lord's discipline. Don't resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son, he delights in. The father, the son, he delights in. So what's the specific situation that's being spoken about? God appeared to David before Solomon was born, and God said to David, I'm going to put a child of yours on this throne forever, okay? And there's going to be one of your children that's going to build the temple, and it was this child, Solomon, okay? It says, and I will be with them. And then it says, but however, if they sin, I'm going to discipline them. But I won't turn my love away from them. That's what he says. I won't turn my love away from them. Okay? And so Solomon says, listen, this is how it works. When God takes you under his wing, he disciplines you. That's how things work. That's how it worked for me. That's how it works for everyone. God disciplines us. And honor to him is to say, I allow you to speak to my life. I allow you to tell me what is right and what is wrong. And I don't, not only do I allow you, I don't do it with my face down and say, oh, I can't believe it. I trust you and I honor what you have to say. Yeah, I was thinking about this. I can think of all the times that I've been, that people have rebuked. The word could be discipline, rebuke, strong correction. Okay. I think about times when people have rebuked me. Yeah. Either one-on-one or in front of other people, yeah. I don't think I've ever handled it well. I can't remember a time that I ever said, oh, that's lovely. Yeah. Thank you so much for saying that. It's so hard. God says, I love you. This is why I'm speaking to you this way. I love you. Around 8 o'clock every night, The thing that Ezra needs most is to sleep. And the thing that he wishes to do least is to sleep, yeah? And so I put him in the cot, or on the bed, if he falls asleep on the bed, and then I don't really let him leave. You see, he's now very mobile, so he can just kind of get up, stand up, and try to run out of there, yeah? And as I try to keep him there, and see, this is just the most horrible thing in the world. First there's like, and then there's full-on crying, and then there's what we call child rage, yeah? I would kill you if I could, but I don't have the strength to do it, yeah? Yeah, okay. And then finally, 30 minutes in, it goes from like, that's what happens every single time. Sometimes longer than 30 minutes. It's almost always 30 minutes, but sometimes it's like an hour, hour and a half, okay? We're all like Ezra. And God comes to us and he says, listen, I will tell you the way that you should go. And we're like, I don't want to hear it. How could you, God? You are stealing my fun. You are just, this is ruining my life. It is all for our benefit. The way that a father loves a child. And again, what ironic words coming from Solomon's mouth. There's only one command that God gave Solomon outside of the Bible. So God did speak with Solomon, and he commanded him one singular time. And the one singular command was after he built the temple. God appeared to him and says, I will bless this place and I will bless your kingdom if you do not worship other gods. If you do not worship, I'm going to do well for you if you will not do this. And it turns out that's the one thing that he disobeyed. Okay? The only command that he received, he disobeyed. By the way, if you feel like God has told you specific things like that, you know, God kind of told me once maybe about this, you should be aware that's the very thing that you really, really want to disobey it. And so God comes to him and says, don't worship other gods. And this is a problem for Solomon. And the reason that it's a problem is he's married all these foreign women who are different kings' daughters, as it were. So he's friendly with the Assyrians because he's got their daughter for a wife, and with the Egyptians because he's got their daughter for a wife. And the problem is that whenever they come, you know, they want to go to their pagan temple and worship there, but you don't have a pagan temple there. And so Solomon goes and builds these pagan temples for all of his emissaries and for all of his wives. And then eventually he's like, maybe I should go in there too. Maybe I should fall down and worship this god. And so you know what happens is that at the end of his life, or the later half of his life, Solomon ends up not trusting the Lord. God appears to him and says, what is this you have done? I told you just this one thing. I told you just this one thing, and you blew it. And all of the acts of discipline that God has for Solomon after that point are perceived by Solomon as threats to his kingdom, and he's opposed to God. And that's how his life ends. I don't know if we're going to see Solomon in heaven, just so everybody knows. But if we do, he probably feels pretty terrible about the wonderful way he started and the awful way he finished. And these words probably hurt him very much. God wants to train you. Will you have it? God wants to train you. Will you listen? Okay, that's the specific. Let's go to the general principle. Honor God in our lows and in our suffering. So it's not just literally, you've done sin and now you're being punished by God, that we grow into his likeness. It's actually just all suffering in general, suffering where we haven't sinned at all. And so the classic example, and we heard this, is Jesus, right? It says Jesus was made perfect through what he suffered. And then to describe exactly what that is, because that makes us feel weird. What is it about suffering that makes you strong in faith? That's what? Yeah. It tells us that as Jesus suffered, instead of saying what we would say when we suffer, which is, this is obviously an indication that God hates me and judges me, right? That's how we perceive our suffering. God doesn't care. Instead of doing that, Jesus said, I know God loves me. I know the Father is for me. I know he is true and just. He said it over and over again. He cried out over and over again. He said, listen, everything is going wrong in my life. They're about to crucify me, but I know you're good. I know this is right. I know I can trust in you. Doing that over and over and over again. And the Bible says he perfected in faith. And the same is true for us. You know, no matter what you're going through, you might think it has nothing to do with God. You might think, this terrible situation, how could God possibly redeem it? I promise you, God has allowed that evil because sin is in the world, but I promise you it can be redeemed. If instead of saying God hates me, you will say God is just and true and righteous, and I will press into him. And we see this. If you know people who are really godly, a lot of times their backstory is their life has descended into a pit. And in that pit, they cried out, Jesus, I trust you. Until they found their way out by God's hand. The Psalms are all about this, by the way. Psalms could be called how to grumble and be a Christian, yeah? Okay. Ah! My foes are pursuing me. You don't look at my situation. It's terrible. But you'll notice they don't say anything like, you just don't love me. You're just evil, God. That never comes out of their mouth. They don't just let God have it. Some psychologists will, Christian psychologists, they'll be like, just scream at God whatever you feel. Don't do that. Scream the truth about God. You love me. You are faithful. You will save. And you will be changed. And you will be molded into the image of Christ. So that's our message. Give God glory in everything, in the highs and lows, in the success, and in the suffering. Which way are you being tempted by the devil right now to walk away from your faith? Which way are you being pushed to just give it up? Because it's not working. You're not getting what you want. So I said a few weeks ago, we were talking about suffering and COVID and anxiety. And I said, it's been tough since COVID has hit. And I've not found my time to be in the Bible. I just can't seem to do it. Now, listen, I wasn't saying, oh, God is not true. God is not loving. I just was like voting for God by abstaining from spending time with him. That's what was going on. You know, I'm kind of fed up about what's going on, God. So I'm not going to read the Bible. Yeah. And so giving God glory in my situation is make quiet times a priority again and really love and listen to him. It might be different for you. Giving God glory first is just a great rule for your life. Before you do whatever you do, before you eat, that's why we say grace. Before you have a conversation, how can I give God glory right before I do this? Before you do every single activity you're going to do, God, please be used in this. Be glorified. Some of us are wildly successful, and that's not bad. It's a gift from God. It also happens to be that we've worked hard. Don't forget to give God glory first. You know, you may need to go to all those esteemed colleagues of yours who keep going, yeah, bravo you, and say, bravo Jesus. Wow, they're not going to like that. Who cares? He is greatest. He is first. After this life is over, nobody's going to care about your little accolade anyway. Heck, half of your friends may not be there. Isn't it more important that you tell them about Jesus? Let's pray.